Talking baseball here on KMBR. I'm Kerry Crowley alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. And as we do quite often on this show, it's my pleasure to bring in Adam Copeland, my co-host of the Copes and Crowley podcast. You can hear him on KMBR weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. as he hosts the leadoff spot. And Adam, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I noticed on Twitter today that you were out at the farmer's market enjoying what had to be a wonderful morning. So thanks so much for taking your time.
Yeah, man, that's what happens in long-term relationships is you wake up on a Sunday and she says, let's go to the farmer's market, let's look at flowers, let's look at vegetables. And I was able, Kerry, to come up on some good heirloom tomatoes, and the vendor did notify me that it's been a good season for the heirloom tomatoes. So I think we're looking for a similar-like performance from the Giants this year. I think if the Giants can have a year like the heirloom tomatoes have had, we'll be in good shape. What do you think?
Man, you sound as washed up as Aaron Rowan was when he signed with the Giants, Copes.
Last time I checked, Aaron Rowan was the center fielder on the 2010 World Champion San Francisco Giants. So I've still got some pop left, I think.
The opening day center fielder, and that brings up a good point. Kevin Gausman named the opening day starter this week, and you and I got talking about this on our podcast and about Kevin Gausman taking this nod for the Giants at 30 years old. The Giants see him as kind of a late blooming starting pitcher, and so the conversation shifted to who were other late bloomers who succeeded in a Giants uniform, and immediately we talked Jason Schmidt. You know, it wasn't until he was 30 years old when he was named an All-Star for the first time. He had that great 2003 season, 2.34. I know Jason Schmidt was one of your all-time favorites. And, you know, could you see Kevin Gausman not necessarily having the same type of late career success, but having a similar late bloom with the Giants?
It's funny because people were talking about this last year with Kevin Gausman when he had such a strong start. I think what everybody was pointing to was that sort of split change that he has. And that's what made Jason Schmidt so effective is he could pump it up at like 95, 96, 97. He was also a horse. Like Jason Schmidt could throw 120, 130 pitches in a game. And Felipe Alou loved to use him to do that, right? Like Felipe would leave guys out there for extended periods of time. And Jason Schmidt was a true ace. And I was really upset, I remember, when not just because he was a Dodger, but that Eric Gagne won the Cy Young as a relief pitcher over Jason Schmidt, who had led the league in ERA as a starter. You mentioned the 2.32 ERA. It was one of the great seasons for a Giant. We thought he'd be the first Giant to win a Cy since McCormick did it, I think, right? He had been the last one. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to see Kevin Gausman like continuing the success that we saw last year throughout a short season, because I think that's sort of what's wonky about coming into 2021 is we can't really tell exactly who just kind of had a couple of hot months and who might actually be a staple. And Kevin Gausman was a top prospect. He's a guy who was the ace for the Baltimore Orioles a couple years back. I think he was the opening day starter for them back in 2017. So when you can be effective with a fastball the way he's been and running it up in the zone and in on the hands on guys, and he can locate it as well as using a changeup, which is not a pitch that, I mean, if guys have a good changeup or they've got a good split, we saw it with Tim Lincecum. You mentioned Jason Schmidt. I mean, these are weapons that guys can get by on in the league for a really long time. It's all about upsetting the timing and the changeup better than any pitch in baseball can do that. So I'm excited about Gausman this year as the number one.
It's funny you mentioned Jason Schmidt getting slighted in that 2003 Cy Young competition, because when we were talking before this week's show, you mentioned another time Schmidt got slighted, and it was the night that Randy Johnson threw a no-hitter, and Jason Schmidt had one of the best starts of his career, and you and I were kids, and we were waiting up on SportsCenter to see what they would say about Jason Schmidt, like you do with your favorite team, you know, growing up. Everyone wants to see what the national people say about them, and Jason Schmidt nowhere to be found after a career performance.
Well, what's funny is like, it's stupid to say the old days and refer to 2003 because we're not all that old, but like even then,
buddy, you were at the farmer's market this morning. You're pretty old.
Even then, we didn't get the coverage of our individual teams that we get now. So you're right. It was like, you know, if a guy has a great performance, I'm thinking coming home that night after Randy Johnson throws the perfect game, I'm all bummed out because Jason Schmidt threw a one-hitter in Chicago. You mentioned it. I think he threw 135 or 136 pitches in that game. And he was, like I said, he was just the ace. He was the horse. It was win day every fifth day when he pitched. But at one point, I remember my mom and I were joking. It must have been near the back end of Jason Schmidt's career with the Giants, maybe the rookie season for Matt Cain, that we were going Schmidt and Cain and pray for rain, sort of with the old Warren Spahn and Johnny Sain rhyme, because 05, 06 were not spectacular years for the Giants. So, that night it was a slighted night for Giants fans, I think, the night Randy Johnson threw a perfect game.
Adam Copeland, host of KMBR's leadoff spot. You can catch him every morning, 5 to 6 a.m. weekdays on KMBR. Copes, I want to ask you about the Giants lineup today and specifically about Buster Posey hitting in the sixth slot. They're going LaStella, Yastrzemski, Donnie Salami, Alex Dickerson, Wilmer Flores, and then Buster Posey in the sixth slot. Do you like this for him?
I guess I'm open to the idea of Buster hitting in other spots in the lineup, but because we know he's a professional hitter and he may not have the pop that they would like guys at the top of the lineup to have now. And I sort of think that, like, lineups have evolved over the last few years. Like, it used to be you had your table setter, your speed guy at the top of the order, your Dave Roberts type guy, right? A true leadoff, Kenny Lofton type hitter. Then you'd go with, like, a true contact guy in the two hole. A Joe Panik was kind of the classic two hole hitter. It's often like a second baseman or a shortstop. Then you'd go power. And you obviously have your best hitter in there as a three guy. But now we're starting to see, like, and it's happening with Mike Yastrzemski and Alex Dickerson at times, where they want to bat that guy with some pop in the two hole, where you can immediately put pressure on the starting pitcher who's in the ball game. If your leadoff guy can get on base, then you can go up 2-0 by the second hitter. So the fact that Buster is such a professional hitter, and even though he may not have the pop that we've seen traditionally from a guy like him who's a former MVP, I think dropping him down in the lineup can add more length to the lineup. And really, that's what we started to see last year when Brandon Crawford showed that he could hit consistently every day in the lineup, and what Brandon Belt brought to the lineup when he jumped in. I think the point here is trying to extend the lineup for as far down as you can, and if you've got good hitters at the top, like they do with Solano and Yastrzemski and LaStella, these traditional, like LaStella is even a traditional two-hitter, I think having Buster in the six hole is a great move for the Giants, and I think you could see some, like, less pressure on him because you're not looking for the sixth guy to hit 25 home runs, right? If Buster can hit for average and hit for some gap power, I think in the six hole could be a valuable spot for the Giants.
Two guys I want to ask you about, pick your brain about here real quick, Copes, and there are two guys having really great springs for the San Francisco Giants. Logan Webb, starting pitcher, 11 scoreless innings, just 4 base runners, 3 hits, 1 walk, 17 strikeouts, and Austin Slater, who in 22 at-bats has 9 hits, 4 home runs, all against righties, 10 runs batted in, and 2 stolen bases. And we saw last season he had 8 steals in 30-some-odd games, was really the Giants' best weapon on the base pass. Of those two guys, who do you believe in more? Austin Slater as an everyday Giants outfielder or Logan Webb as a middle of the rotation number 3 starter?
Boy, it's tough because I don't want to take anything away from either guy because I actually totally believe in both guys, and maybe starting to believe in Logan Webb even more because of what we just talked about with the changing speeds, and really all of his success this spring has come from that changeup, right? Being able to run that fastball up in the zone and in on the hands like we're talking with Gosman, and then that devastating sort of split change that's falling away from left-handed hitters. That's big for Logan Webb. As far as Austin Slater goes, it's not that I don't believe he can be an everyday outfielder because I actually think he's one of the more intriguing elements to this Giants lineup. If he can get going, he's one of those guys that can hit sort of to the bottom middle part of the lineup or hit him up in the two hole or in the leadoff spot like we saw last year. The problem for him is A, going to be staying healthy, because we've seen he's just had a bunch of different sort of nicks and bangs over the last couple of years, even at the start of spring this year. And the other part is going to be hitting right-handed pitching, because he's been dominant against left-handed pitching, but throughout his career he's been inconsistent against righty. So I guess to answer your question in a long-winded way, I'm going to go with Logan Webb just because I think we're going to see a longer leash on him at the beginning of the year as far as letting him get going as a middle-of-the-rotation starting asset. And I also am pretty intrigued and excited that they've given him that 3 spot, that he's going to pitch the 3rd game of the season and not the 4th.
Yeah, Anthony DeSclafani in line to go the 4th game now. So, Copes, what are you watching today? College basketball, Giants baseball, flipping back and forth. What's the TV look like?
Yeah, well, as soon as I'm done washing and cleaning all of these heirloom tomatoes that we bought, I think I'll saddle in, maybe open a beer, and I'll get into some college basketball. I think Gonzaga's getting ready to start the second half, and we've got some good Pac-12 hoops later, too. So, yeah, I'll be diving into some college hoops and keeping an eye on these last couple of Cactus League games for the Giants.
Fantastic stuff. Copes, thanks so much for joining us.
Always, dude. Catch you later, Kerry.
All right, that's Adam Copeland. You can hear him each week on the Copes and Crowley podcast with yours truly on weekends on KMBR, and then each weekday, 5 to 6 a.m., host of the leadoff spot. Up next, looking through the window of baseball, Marty Lurie, Bruce Jenkins, classic segment. Looking forward to it. You're listening to Talkin' Baseball, KMBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.